Okay, Parshas Kisisa, and of course Parshas Kisisa opens up with the command, Kisisa es rosh b'nei Yisrael of gudeyem, when you count b'nei Yisrael according to their accounting or their numbers. And of course, what does the Torah mean when it says lifkudeyem? The Baba V'Rebbe Shlita writes that the word lifkudeyem comes from the word for a lack, like from the Pasuk, v'lo nifkad mimenu ish. And the Rebbe explains that the Torah is giving us a critical message here. When we want to raise man out of the doldrums of life created by his enslavement to the Yetzer Hara, Kisisa es rosh b'nei Yisrael, when you want to pick up the heads, lifkudehem, from those who have been forgotten, then nasnu ish kofer nafsho, then what we have to do in order to raise it is to lift the person out by giving a kofer nefesh, by offering his life like he otherwise would have offered a karban. The difference is that unlike a karban, an individual's soul can be pure and without impediment. And thus the first idea of the parish is the concept of kofer nefesh, of the idea of having to make a restitution of the soul in order for us to be able to pick ourselves out of our doldrums. And so that first everlasting aliyah in the parsha goes on and describes how God says, "Re'eh karasi b'shem Bitzalel ben Uri ben Chur l'mate Yehuda," that God says, "I called Bitzalel, the son of Uri, the son of Chur, v'amoleo so ruach Elokim, and I gave him all sorts of wisdom." And the fact of the matter is that nowhere in the Torah do we actually find Hashem calling to Bitzalel. We find that Hashem makes the declaration that he was interested in Bezalel. But where does Hashem actually call Bezalel to tell him, "You are now in charge"? And Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, cited in the Sefer Rabbi Shurkin's Megid Givos Olam, Rav Moshe notes that if Hashem gives any particular talent or reserve to a particular individual, then that is the calling from Hashem to rise to the occasion and to use those talents for the betterment of Kavod Shamayim in the world. In other words, what Rav Moshe is telling us is each of us has been endowed with gifts in order to achieve a calling. Bre'e karasi b'shem. What does God call to each of us? And uvelev kol chacham lev nasati chachma. So God goes on and says, in the hearts of those with wisdom, I put chachma. Of course, the Gemara in Berachos tells us that Hashem can only give chachma to those who already have it, based on the pasuk, Yaif Chachma lechakimim, that God gives knowledge to those who are already wise. And the question has to be raised. That's like what my friend Mr. Moskowitz calls ice chips in the winter. What, on the particular snowy day that we're in the middle of right now, ice chips in the winter seems like a foolish endeavor. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu give Chachma to those who already have it? Shouldn't it be better to give Chachma to those who lack the seichel? So the Vilna Gaon explains in Evin Shlema that the first bit of knowledge, the first chachma that a person needs, is the knowledge that one needs to go ahead and be a mevakesh, to seek knowledge. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz is quoted as recalling an incident when he went to visit his illustrious uncle, the late great Rabbi Avram Yafin, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, in the Rosh Yeshiva of the Nevardak Yeshiva in Nevardak. And Reb Chaim Shmulevitz asked his uncle who exactly were the best students in the yeshiva. And Rav Yafin, the Rosh Yeshiva, proudly highlighted each student. This one is the best in Lumdus, and this one's the best in Amkus, and this one's the best in Havana. And he went around the Beis Medrash highlighting each one's Milos, and where indeed he was the best. But when he got to one particular guy in the corner, he said, "That guy is the absolute best Talmud I have." So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asked him, "What made that student stand out?" And Rabbi Avram Yavin told him, "You know what he is? He is the best mevakesh. He's the biggest seeker of knowledge. That's what makes us Yoiv Chachma Lachakimen. That's the secret of continued success in knowledge and in life." By the way, the young man, Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz says, that Rabbi Avram Yavin pointed to was none other than the great Gaon, Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Kanievsky, who would later become known as the Stipler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It's critical and crucial for us to understand that we have Chachma, and the first level of Chachma is knowing our responsibility to seek out more Chachma. This week's Sedra, in a tremendous detail, highlights the Chet HaEgel. And the question has to be asked, because the Rishonim differ, as to just how serious the Chet HaEgel was. Was it indeed a tremendous avera that serves as the backdrop for all of the other averos? Or somehow, as the Ibn Ezra and Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi seem to suggest, The Chet HaEgel was not as seriously an Avodah Zarah Avera as one might think. How is one supposed to reconcile these two opposing ideas? The Rav of Ramat Gan, the great Rav Yaakov Ariel, notes that Chet HaEgel is often debated as to what exactly the sin was. But, says Rav Yaakov Ariel, that the Egel was representative of the concept of celebrating middle steps as finality. That is to say, think about it. What is an Egel? If we celebrate the Egel, what we're celebrating is the great gusto, the power that an ox has. What we aren't celebrating is who indeed is behind the ox, who gives the ability for the ox to lead. We celebrate gold as a valuable precious metal, but what good is all the gold in the world? It's the purchasing power that is represented by the gold. If we stop and rest on half jobs, we are going to be worshipping an Avodah Zarah, a foreign worship. This is the Chet HaEgel. This is the Avera that we have, and in our door, all too often, we tend to focus on the middle steps, and perhaps that might be an idea for us to reconsider and ponder. Anyway, Moshe Rabbeinu was given the responsibility to ponder, and as he goes down from the mountain, Lech Red Kishiches Amcha, Moshe Rabbeinu discovers that when he sees the Egel and the Mecholos, it's only then that he broke the Luchos. Now the fact of the matter is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself had told Moshe Rabbeinu that Bnei Yisrael were already Mashchis, that they had already done the terrible Aveira of the Egel. So why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't smash the Luchos at that point? Why does Moshe wait to smash the Luchos when he saw the people? The late great Magid Rav Shalom Shvadron explains that when Moshe Rabbeinu heard that the people had sinned, he hoped that there was still hope that the people could be shown the error of their ways. But once there was Mecholos, once there was a celebration of the frivolity, once all of a sudden everybody was excited about the situation, then all of a sudden Moshe saw that hope was lost, and that the Luchos indeed had to be smashed. So Moshe achieves the opportunity for tshuva. And he, in the process, he turns to God and he says, Harini na es kvodacha. And God says to him, Ki lo yirani ha adam v'chai, no man can see my face and actually survive. The late great Riv Avos Ephraim, Riv Ephraim Greenblatt of Memphis, and then Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, asks, why is it that no one has the ability to see the face of Hashem and still manage to survive? What is so unique about that process? Says the Riv Avos Ephraim, although Moshe Rabbeinu had the ability to speak to Hashem panim al panim, he didn't have the ability to see Hashem. For to see Hashem, explains the Riv Avos Ephraim, means that we are going to become angelic or angel-like. Angels don't live. Angels don't have the ability to choose. One needs to have the ability to choose if he or she is going to thrive in the life of good choices. One first needs to know, you choose. Uvacharta b'chayim. When you choose, you are included in life. Moshe Rabbeinu would lose that ability to choose once he has the opportunity to see God. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares, Lo yirani ha'adam, no one has the ability to see me and still manage v'chay. After we get past the story of the ego, we start reading about the Yamim Tovim. And we're told, V'lo yachmod ish esartzecha ba'aloscha le'ra'osas b'nei Hashem elokecha shalosh panim bashana. That no one will desire your land ba'aloscha. The late great Remeir Shapiro, Lublina Rav, and founder of the Dafayomi movement, notes that chimud, that desire for things that don't belong to us, is not going to affect anybody traveling up to Yerushalayim. The sole purpose in Aliyah LeRegel was going to be for the soul, for the nefesh. That is to say, one is not supposed to make Aliyah LeRegel for physical benefit. Perhaps this is pshat in the Gemara when the Gemara tells us that there were no peros ginosar. The sweet fruits of Eretz Yisrael were not available in Yerushalayim, because the purpose of Yerushalayim is to provide a spiritual experience. That said, though, if it's done correctly, then the physical part also gets taken care of. Nobody ever said, Sarli Hamakom B'Yerushalayim. Anyway, at the end of the parasha, we find that Aaron and Bnei Yisrael saw Kikara nor Pnei Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu's face had lit up, and they were afraid of him. And Rashi notes that this was due to their sense of inadequacy. They recognized that Moshe Rabbeinu's spiritual existence and their spiritual dearth as a result of Avera had created a gap between Moshe and the people, and for this they were afraid. And Rav Shlomo Volba, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, as related by my dear friend Rav Zev Wolbe, notes that the fear came from a misunderstanding about Torah. Torah, says Rav Volba, is a power that lifts a person up and brings him into a spiritual world. And when we bring Torah into our world instead of trying to live in its world, it brings on fears. Our world is a scary place. What we need to do is recognize that Torah protects us from being afraid. Says Rav Volba, this perhaps provides a little insight into the spiritual realm of obsessions. That when one realizes that I'm so nervous about, did I use a Revius or not? Or did I say the word of Kriyishma correctly or not? Then one is losing the Reach HaTorah. One's losing the spirit of the law. And in that process, failing. Our job is not to go ahead and get hung up on details. Our job is to live the details for our HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to live our lives in the most positive way, with the most positive force moving forward. Finally, in the Haftorah, which of course is the special Haftorah for Parshas Kisisa, we read about how Elio had his battle on Har HaKarmel, and Vayihi Ba'alos HaMincha, it was at Mincha time that Elio was answered at Har HaKarmel. The Gemara in Brachos tells us how important La'olam Yizar Adam B'Tfilas Mincha, that a person has a responsibility to prioritize Mincha, because Elio was answered at Mincha time. And Moreno V'Rabbeinu Rav Shachter Shalita asks the question, why is it that Mincha seems to be more important than Shachris? After all, Shachris is a person's first Tfilah of the day. Others were answered at Tfilah Shachris. Why La'olam Yehei Adam Zayir B'Tfilas Mincha? And Rav Shachter explained that the tefillos of Shachris and Mincha are representative of the two halves of the Karban HaTamed, as HaKeves Echad Ta'aseh B'Boker, V'Yis HaKeves HaSheni Ta'aseh B'in HaRabayim. But Chachmei HaKabbalah understand that the Shachris half of the Karban, which highlighted more the goof of the Karban, has to be understood as being part of man's basic necessities, and that a man is thanking God in the process of bringing that karban for his basic necessities. At Mincha time, one thanks God for the mosaros, for the extra, for the luxuries in life. What Elio was doing, be'alos ha-mincha, was that he said that although Hashem can be somewhat forgiving for forgetting to be moda on necessities, when it comes to the luxuries in life, we must thank Hashem constantly for them. Forgetting to do so is a serious difficulty that Elio HaNavi did not want to have happen in the process. Elio HaNavi, Rav Shachter explains, teaches us that there is room for luxury in Yiddishkeit. There is room, yes, but when it's utilized for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when we thank Hashem for it, sometimes in life, we tend to forget that process. May we take the lessons of Parshas Kisisa and use them to redirect all of our efforts L'chavod Hashem, and to live l'mano. Good Shabbos to all.